It has to change the way that you're thinking. You carry resentments towards anyone, a church or a place. Is your heart hardened towards anyone? Do you find yourself easily being negative or critical of others? Do you find yourself hiding behind walls of self-protection so as not to get hurt again? All have their root in unforgiveness and bitterness, which all have their root in pride. Do you walk in the sin of speaking evil reports against others? Do you find yourself speaking about others with words that do not value with them with the same value the Father has for His creation? Do you expose the faults and weaknesses of others within your conversations with other people? Do you build yourself up by putting others down? Do you easily enter into the conversations of gossip? Do you enjoy speaking of the failure of others? All have their roots in evil reports, which are rooted in pride also. Do you walk in the sin of deception? Do you find yourself exaggerating events you talk about? Do you feel it is okay to bend the truth in order to get a point across more effectively? Do you find yourself telling events and hurts or from your point of view and never considering the other's point of view or God's point of view? All rooted in deception, which is rooted in pride. You found any sins yet? Do you walk in the sin of a lack of integrity and truth? Who is it that might enter His holy hill? Who can come into the tent of the Lord? He who walks in integrity of heart. Integrity is a major issue in my life. Integrity is no more do you conform your actions to your words. If you say you're going to do something, do you do it? If I say I'm coming to do a meeting, I'm going to be there to do a meeting, barring from death. Somebody calls me with a church of 10,000 people, and I've got a church of 50 people booked, and I said, I've got that thing booked, and a church of 10,000 calls and asks me to come. Sorry, I'm booked. Integrity. Integrity of heart, conforming my words to my actions. Do you keep your promises? Do you fulfill the commitments you make to the best of your ability? Can people count on your word? Do you seek to walk in truth concerning all your business and financial dealings? Or is it okay to bend things a little bit? One of the things around me, I don't want gray areas in our business dealings with Shiloh Place. It better be black and white. Get every loophole you can get with IRS. But if it's gray, we'll go with the white side and not the black side. I'd rather pay more now because I reap from what I sow. And even sometimes the accountant will say, or someone will say, well, you really don't have to do that. Well, that's not really clear enough for me. I'd rather pay more now. Do you walk in the sin of the lust of the flesh? Do your eyes gravitate towards the opposite sex? Do you find yourself desiring your mate to either be like someone else or look like someone else? Are you involved in any type of sexually inappropriate behavior? Do you show more interest, concern, and sensitivity to the others of the opposite sex than you do your own spouse? I see it all the time. I'll see a man talking with his wife, and he's sitting there and just dead and no joy inside, and then he goes over and he talks to this girl over here, and his eyes light up. That's all it takes for me to know he's walking in the sin of lust of another man's wife or lust of a woman. Do I have that same joy and excitement around my own spouse that I have around someone else's? You know, all things, how did I learn this stuff? Fasting and realize I was doing this. Of course, my wife would tell me that, but I'd never agree with her, you know. And then as God would begin to reveal the sin to me, I'd come, and it smites my heart, and it comes down, and walls of the lust of the flesh begin to come down. Strongholds begin to be pulled down within the fast as God begins to show you the sinfulness and the wickedness of our hearts. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is more deceitful than all else. It is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Major verse during the fast, because I want God. This is what true godly motivated fasting is all about. How many do you know do it? Very few. And why is the church in the condition it is in, full of so much pride, sexual immorality, division and strife, lack of true godly motivated fasting that comes in and changes our heart, changes our character? Do you have any self-destructive behavior? Are you addicted to any harmful habits that may be destructive to your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Is there drugs, alcohol, food addiction, sexual addictions, TV addictions? What may be destructive there? Do you show a disregard for caring for your own body so that you can have maximum potential physically, spiritually, emotionally to minister to yourself first, to your family second, and to others third? Do you find yourself thinking it'd be better off if I hadn't been born, or life is too painful to live, which is actually hidden death wishes, all self-destructive ways that are sins against our body, because God will hold us accountable for our body one day, we said yesterday, and we'll see that verse later. Do we walk in the sin of idolatry? Do we place money above God, above family or others? Is money, is becoming wealthy the chief goal in our life? Do we tithe? Do we only give out of the overflow out of our life, or is there times we give out of our need? Do you place anything in your life above intimacy with God, with your priorities being intimacy with God first, intimacy with my spouse second, intimacy with my children, then the ministry gift God's put in me, and then work somewhere else down the line, even though, yes, you may have to give a man a solid 40 or 50 hours a week, nowadays sometimes 60 hours a week, but your priority is that family. I have to travel. I'm gone on the road. And for years, 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 my family knew that my joy, my identity was being out here and ministering. In the last 2 years, I'm still gone a lot, but they know one thing. I'm not here because I want to be. I want to be home with them. I want to be with my family. I'm here because now they send me. Priorities have changed. They know the priority is different. Fasting brings that down and changes that. Do you live in the sin of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Do you look like a Christian on the outside and say all the right things and appear to have all together, yet inside there's really no desire or longing for God? Do you cover up your problems and needs and pretend like everything is okay on the outside? Do you wear a plastic smile in church and act spiritual when you know you really aren't? Do you have a need to be right? Are you opinionated? Do you only accept and hang around those who think like you? You're moving into the sin of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Do you walk in the sin of ungratefulness? Do you give thanks to God for all things that occur in your life? Do you spend all the time focusing upon what has not been done for you or focusing upon what God has done for you already? Do you live your life in the negative zone or in hopes of what is yet to come and are not thankful for the present and what God's done in the past? Here, writing all those sins down, making a list. Here, I'm seeing my sin list. This is the list, and there is much more than that. That I said on the 21-day fast, third day of the 21-day fast in January of 96, I had that whole sin list there, and then my wife said, "Now go," Lord said, "Go confess it to your wife." Well, confess all this list to your children. I had pages of it that I'd seen of these little, what we call respectable Christian sins, these sins of presumption. And for sins to a presumption to be broken in your life and these strongholds to come down in your life, you've got to give God permission. Expose it all. I don't care if it's exposed to man. I don't care if it's exposed to my wife, to my children. The degree of your willingness to come to the light is the degree of reward you're going to get in the fast. No, I don't want, I've got to hide all this. That's pride. You can't get a reward out of the fast or your rewards will be little. Didn't know what you were getting into when you came to the seminar, did you? But people have asked me for years and years, how do you fast? How do you see so many of these strongholds come down? How have you broken these things over your marriage? How have you broken all this sexual immorality of my mind that I lived when I lived in so much sexual perversion, sexual abuse, pornography addiction? How has my mind been washed of all these thoughts and dreams and imaginations? Fasting. A desperate need. God, I can't do what you called me to do. I can't do it. I'm too dirty. I'm too unclean. Now, I'm fasting just to wash and a cleansing. What do I do with the sins that were revealed to me? And I wrote underneath there, this determines the rewards of the fast. What do you do with the sins that are revealed to you? That will determine the reward of the fast. And we've already added that. Write each of your sins down in your journal. And then write a scripture beside them that you can meditate on. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word I've treasured in thy heart, that I may not sin against thee. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Revive me according to thy word. Strengthen me according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp to thy feet and a light to my flesh. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Establish my footsteps in thy word. Do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for thy words. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on thy word. Those who love thy law have great peace and nothing else cause them to stumble. I find the sin and I look at the sin and then I get a scripture and put it alongside of that. And I meditate on that scripture all through the fast. That, Father, this sin is coming down. Your word is going to so fill my heart that when I catch this sin rising back up within me, that it's going to break the power of this sin off of me. And people wonder, how do you quote so many scriptures? Do you memorize scripture? No, I don't memorize scripture. I've just never practiced that. But I do, when I'm fasting, tag a scripture onto a sin. I don't sit there and seek to memorize it. I ask that scripture to come and divide my soul from my spirit and begin to wash me, and somehow it sticks in here. And I can't quote it to you until I'm in a sermon, and then I'm or in a message, and then I'm talking to you one-on-one, or I'm in a message, and I'm there quoting scripture. I didn't have to look up any of these scriptures that are in the book here. I say, look them up. I didn't have to. Well, what scripture am I going to put with this paragraph? I'd just write that paragraph. The scripture would pop into mind. My wife will tell you that I'm a literally walking concordance. She'll come up and say, where's this scripture found? Well, it's in Matthew 17. Just turn right there. You'll find it. I'm not sure what verse, but I know it's there. Where did that all come from? By applying the word to my sin, that I might not sin against it. And it began to break the power of this. Number two, and we've got two new ones I saw this morning as I was studying, add in right here. Cry out to God. I'd add number two, or put in, you may want to add to your note list, and it's underneath, writing each sin down. Cry out to God for a spirit of repentance towards this sin. These things grow each time I teach it, and this is the first printing. But I would put in there underneath, number one, cry out to God for a spirit of repentance towards that sin, because I found until this happened, that sin will not break and change. This is Romans 12:9, and abhor what is evil, love what is good. Repentance is coming to a hatred for anything in you not like Christ. It's not a one-time act of confession. It's not something that just happens during the fast. It is something that remains with you. I hate the thought of the sin of thinking any sexual, immoral thought whatsoever towards anyone when that ate my life up for 40 years. I hate that thing. I'll not allow it to come in. I'll not look upon another woman with a thought of distaste or a thought of impurity. I lived that realm for 40 years, and it's a hatred within me. It's become a repentance in me that's changed the way I look at women. And with that, I have to pray Romans 2:4. The gift of God leads us to repentance. Repentance is something I can't enter into. It's a gift He gives me. Now, where do I find most of the gifts flow the freest? Whenever I'm in the light. If I'm in the dark, He can't have fellowship in the dark. His fellowship's in the light. The problem's not on His side. He's always pouring gifts and blessings and grace and love and mercy and healing and deliverance and repentance. But we've got to be in the light. And if we're dwelling in darkness, how can we say, just pour it over here in the darkness for a while, God? He said, if you'll come over in the light, all that I have is yours. Luke 15:31. I am always with you and all that I have is yours. Hallelujah. You see, all we've got to do is how are we going to deal with this sin that we're all walking in? And there's another one underneath repentance I would add in there on the left-hand side of the page. Number three, also you need to forgive anyone who has hurt you, anyone that was revealed in that. You need to forgive them. Anywhere you're carrying unforgiveness or bitterness, you need to make a mouth confession of forgiving them of what they have done against you. Forgiveness is not an issue between you and them. It's an issue between you and God. When you stand praying, forgive so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. That person usually does not deserve to be forgiven. It's not between you and them. It's between you and God. You have to forgive so God forgives. People don't want to forgive because this person doesn't deserve it. It's eating you up, not him. He's not the issue. God's the issue. I think that, where's that verse, Don? Mark 11:25? I didn't put this in my notes. If we stand praying, forgive so that our Father in heaven may forgive us. Is that 11:25? You can put that in there, and if it's wrong, change it. The next printing, it'll have it in there. Okay. Then we'll move on to what's number two on your page, which is actually now number four, okay? Confess your sins each day of the fast audibly to God and claim the promise of forgiveness and cleansing. I sit out there, I've got the list, and I'll try to, when you're fasting, remember, you're setting the time you would normally eat aside for a time to be with God. So in that time I would normally be eating, I set it aside, and I get out my sins list, and I confess my sins audibly to Him, and I ask for His blood to come and wash me and cleanse me, to pull down these strongholds, to break the power of them off of me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and all unrighteousness. And then number three, and we'll get back to this pattern here of the book, daily bring to the cross and call to death the strongholds that have been affecting your life and relationships. For He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He's transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's Colossians 1, 13 and 14. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Don't just sit back and wait on God to do it. Get into a fast and believe that I'm going to bring this thing to the cross. I'm going to put this thing to death. I'm going to put on this new self, which being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator, Colossians 3, 3, 5, and 10. Father, I come in Jesus' name, and I bring this strength, this sin, this stronghold of the lust of the eyes to the cross. I call it to death in Jesus' name. Wash my mind from the sins of the past. Cleanse me, and I proclaim that this thing will no longer have power over me to rule me. Now, what will probably happen, I'll go right back out and I'll do it again. So I stay in the attitude of repentance until the fruit changes. That's what repentance is all about, Matthew 3, 8. Repentance is... it's one I quote all the time, and I just lost it. It's bringing forth the fruit of the meat of thy repentance. Bringing forth the fruit of the meat of thy repentance. Repentance is not complete until you look at a woman in a holy way instead of an unholy way. Or whatever that sin might be. Pray prayers of cleansing and washing so that you feel clean and free, because when we live in a realm of sin, we live in a realm of thoughts, impure thoughts and imaginations and motives, we feel shame. Shame makes us feel dirty, and guilt and self-condemnation. So I pray prayers of cleansing over myself. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our bodies have been defiled. Our minds have been defiled. Other people have touched our bodies in impure ways. We've used our bodies to hurt and wound other people. Now just let the blood of Jesus just wash me. And I may just sit back in His presence. I just sit back and meditate on that verse. Meditate on some of those sins with the blood of Jesus. And at times I may just be under a waterfall. I may be in a shower and just the blood of Jesus just washing me. There's times that I've been so convicted of areas of impurity or darkness, I'll just go get in a shower and I'll just let Hebrews 10:22 just wash me and cleanse me. Strongholds begin coming down. The power of them begin to be broken off our life. Number five, call for the life of Christ to be resurrected within you and the fruit of the Spirit to replace the old deeds of the flesh. Now, please, before we go on, I don't follow exactly this pattern, but I put it in a numbered form for your sake. I tried to think. I've never listed this down. How do I do this? Because people always ask me, how do I do this? So you don't have to follow this exact little pattern, okay? Then you're making it the letter of the law. All I know is there's something about the cross that during fasting reveals darkness, brings light, washes me of my sin, breaks strongholds, and I tried to put it in outline form for someone else's sake so they could take this and learn from it. You can adjust this, okay? This is not the letter of the law. You can adjust this, but I do know it all comes around to somehow confession and repentance. Now, I know healing techniques. I know supernatural healing techniques, which some of these follow. One of them calling for the life of Christ to be resurrected within you and the fruit of the Spirit to replace all the deeds of the flesh. We see that in Ephesians 2, 4, 5, and 6, in Galatians 5, 23 through 25. Knowing that Father's always with me and that He loves me and He forgives me. And then I'll claim the promise of answered prayer. That all things which I pray for and ask in Mark 11, verse 22 and 23 and 24, All things which I pray and ask, I believe that I've received them and that they'll be granted to me. I believe that because that's what God has promised during the fast. That's what He's promised in Isaiah 58, all these blessings and rewards. And then I realize the evil one has no right, number seven, the evil one has no right to oppress me any longer. Thank goodness I am born of God, and he who is born of God does not sin. I've just stood under the shower, under the rainfall, the waterfall of cleansing, of confessing my sin, asking God to forgive me, asking Him to wash me. Therefore, God keeps me, and the evil one cannot touch me. And He says, I'm willing to write to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. You are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. 1 John 2:13-14. I know during this time of waiting on Him and being in His presence, I've come to know Him. It's given me the authority to overcome the evil one. He will not walk in my life. And I've proclaimed Psalm 34:5-6, every demonic power that would come against me, you're going to be like the chaff before the wind. The angel of the Lord's going to drive you on. Your way is going to be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing you. Okay. Anytime I feel any torment, now, speaking of any enemy, now I'm praying that way over my enemies. You do not want to be my enemy. Because I'm fasting and praying, this is what's going to happen to my enemies. I'm speaking mostly in the spiritual realm, but I pity the boy, I mean to tell you, that wants to be an enemy when you got someone fasting and praying that way. Because God's promised that's what will happen with our enemies. We have been given the power to live a pure and holy life. We've been given the power for the fruit of the Spirit to become and manifest in our life. Now, we've got to appropriate all the weapons that God's given our life to be able to do this. Now, that's my preparation of my soul. That's the preparation of my spirit man. Now, just shortly, how do I prepare my physical body? Just as it's necessary to prepare your soul and spiritual man, you've got to prepare your body for any longer fast to increase the success rate that you may have. Now, how would I prepare myself for a normal fast? Just say water, or even if I did juices and water for say 1 to 3 days. I usually will start at least 2 days in advance, cutting back on caffeine, sugar, white flour, and any meat at all, because the meat does not digest well within your stomach, especially red meat, and so it's kind of clogging your intestinal tract some. And the body will continue to be in that digestive process during the fast, even though you're trying to shut it down because there's meat in your stomach. This helps cut back on the physical discomfort you may experience the day before the fast on a 1 to 3 day, or I'll cut back on food portions, eat either steamed or raw vegetables and fruits, you know, move right into a little Daniel fast. Usually I'm very big into taking a colon cleanse, preparing for fast. You can go to any health food store. I like doing the colon cleanses that are more than psyllium husk. You can get just a psyllium husk colon cleanse, but there are those that are a detox cleanse. They're full of all types of herbs that detoxify and cleanse the blood, cleanse the liver, cleanse the colon. I usually get one of those detox cleanses. They are 3 or 4 times as much in price, but it helps you to detoxify, which that's in the chapter on health. And we may get to that. A normal fast of drink plenty of water, 64 ounces minimum of water each day. A normal fast of 3 to 10 days, now this takes a little more preparation. I would begin usually with a week in advance of a Daniel fast in order to begin the detoxification. Now this is even me who lives a pretty much a clean lifestyle nutritionally. I still would Daniel fast a week in advance, drink at least 64 waters a day. Fresh squeezed lemon, and I use fresh squeeze, not the lemon canisters that you can buy and put juice and put into the water, but fresh squeezed. And I may not have said it, any fast distilled water is the most important. There are nutritionists tell you never fast without using distilled water, reason being the pH balance. And others will say, well, what about reverse osmosis? The pH balance is not the same in reverse osmosis. It's like water is kind of like a swimming pool. If the pH balance is too low, your eyes burn. If the pH balance is too high, your eyes burn. That's the same thing when we are drinking water that has too low or too high pH balance within it, then it acidifies our body. and our body begins to short-circuit itself in its immune system, and it causes the immune system to shut down some to where it doesn't work as effectively. So distilled water during any fast is what you follow, and it begins to rebuild the immune system, begins to neutralize the acidity within your body. So I usually will drink distilled water. You may want to cut your sugar and caffeine intake. What I'll do, say if I've been on a regular diet, I will, a week ahead, I'll start cutting my sugar, caffeine, white flour intake, meat flour the first day of the Daniel fast. I'll cut it a third. If I normally drink 2 cups of coffee, I'll drink maybe a cup and a third the first day of the Daniel fast. The second day, I'll cut it back to a little less than a cup of coffee. The third day, I'll cut it back to about a third of a cup of coffee. What this is doing, it's helping you not go through all the physical withdrawals and headaches and body aches. And the sugar has just as big an addiction on you, sugars do, so I pull the sugars out at the same time, cutting back gradually from that. So when I go into the fast, I'm not going to have as much detoxification, discomfort, and pain within my body. So that's a good way to prepare for. Also, the colon cleanse, if you want to do a parasite cleanse, what a parasite cleanse is, you go to certain health food stores, not GNC usually, but some of the more private health food stores, you can get a 21-day parasite cleanse kit. You are all full of parasites, all of us are. There are certain herbal combinations that will kill any unfriendly parasites. We've all got some type of worms, except maybe me. Some type of worms within our system. I do live in a constant parasite cleanse. Again, my goal is how can I live maximum energy potential because I have such a dramatic energy and emotional drain upon me in my daily living from the problems that we have to deal with all over. Maximum energy potential. I don't do this to be spiritual and holy. That's religion. That's legalism. But the parasite cleanse, you can do, say, a 7-day Daniel fast. A 7-day Daniel fast, you begin the parasite cleanse then. They recommend during parasite cleanses just all raw fruits, raw vegetables, water, and you do the parasite cleanse according to the directions. And then you go through, say, a week-long Daniel fast or normal fast with the parasite cleanse every day, and then you finish up with a week-long Daniel fast, as much raw as possible. What will happen during that time is you may flush out of you tapeworms, all the parasites, the little pinworms will flush out of you. I have passed 2-foot-long tapeworms. Now, I am in third-world countries a lot, and I pick up things and the foods I eat over there. So I do a 7-day parasite cleanse every time I come home from overseas. I go right into some type of cleanse to cleanse myself of the parasites. You also pick up amoebas. And this also helps to wash out the amoebas. The way to get rid of amoeba is to starve them out, basically what you do. Get rid of amoeba that you may pick up in Mexico that can live with you for the rest of your life. I can get rid of it in 10 days. With a 10-day normal fast, a week-long raw vegetables, fruits and vegetables prior to that, a 10-day normal fast with water using bentonite. Bentonite is a clay that is 900 times more absorbent than its weight. It is an all-natural clay. It's only $7.95 in a bottle at most health food stores. You take a tablespoon 4 to 5 days times a day with water. It absorbs the toxins off your colon wall, and what it does, it causes the amoeba to stick to it. And then it flushes out. So it can be part of the healing process. And I've said it, I combine spiritual fasting with nutritional fasting many times, not every time. So a parasite cleanse, a colon cleanse, it helps to prepare you. I'll drink water. I drink a lot of fresh squeezed juices from my own home juicer at home. I'm doing fruit juices in the morning, vegetable juices at night, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. During any fast, I would recommend no canned or bottled juices. They are full of sugar. Well, I get mine from a health food store. Read the label. They're full of sugar. So I take all canned and vegetable juices out of the picture during any fast. A normal fast of 10 or more days, I would do the same as the Daniel fast, But what I will do if I go into a 21-day fast or so, I, Daniel, fast usually 2 to 3 weeks prior to the start of the normal fast to clear my body of toxin and waste. Otherwise, when you get about 7-10 days into a normal fast, there's such an output of toxins and waste coming forth to you, it can get clogged up and you can go into sickness. If you're a beginner, you may want to consider entering a fast with someone else. Two of you commit to it, or three of you commit to it, and this gives you, combines your faith together, it increases your likeliness of a success. My wife tries to always fast with me. She does not fast well, but she always tries to fast with me. She did not the total fast, she did a normal fast with me during the total fast on October 11th, but she drank very minimal water, just a few sips of water. But she fasted with me, and I walked her through that. And even though I'd live this lifestyle, she's not able to do the normal fast, but she does live a lifestyle of Daniel fasting, fruits and vegetables and water. She lives that lifestyle with me, but she does have negative physical reactions that's related to sugar to her normal fasting. Don't make her feel any guilt about it. Don't make her feel down. Just do what you can. If Daniel fasting is what you can do because of sugar problems, sugar level problems within you, or diabetes, or health problems, or drugs that you may be on, then Daniel fast. Give what you can. Much of our ministry team, because of the Doug and Jerry and Gladys, because they're on heart medications, and they do Daniel fasting, or they'll do during a Daniel fast, they may well just a meal with their medications. And a small meal, and they cut way back. And God honors that just as much as a person that does a normal fast. Honors it every bit as much because he knows there's medication issues there. But I do what is comfortable for me, and you do what is comfortable for you. But if you say it's comfortable for you because you've got all these strongholds and bondages in your life, well, maybe you need to challenge some of those, okay? But if it's comfortable with you because of a sugar diabetes type issue or because of medications that you've got to take, then Daniel fasting would be a wonderful fast to do. Wonderful fast. All right, any questions on that? Any major ones on how to prepare? We'll move on after the break. During the fast, what do we do? But how to prepare for fast? Any journey. It's the first step that is the most important, and it's the first step that's the most difficult. So if you're just starting, this is where a lot of difficulty is. Please, and I talked to, I know, with Sandy and one or two others. I'm sharing from where I'm at personally, but I'm trying to give you how to get there. Do not try starting where I'm at, and don't say, well, where Jack's at, I never can get there, so I'm not going to try. Am I effectively giving you, here's where to begin at, and you're getting a vision for the beginning of this? Because I've heard too many teachers that would preach, and they preach so far above me that I had no hope to ever obtaining that. And so I'm hoping to try to bring it to a place, I don't like to call levels, because I'm not more mature than you because I do this. You understand that, don't you? This is just what I found in a very trying ministry and position that helps me to sustain the energy, to sustain the level of repentance that I need to walk in. I don't need to be coming in here teaching on repentance and healing if I'm not living it and walking in it. And this is what helps me to live it and walk in it. Okay, Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9 says, "Feed me with a food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord?" So this is revealing there is a place to where we can be so just tied into the flesh that there's even a place of denying the Lord. For many walk of whom I have told you, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to the subject all things to himself. And that's Philippians 4:18-21. And here we see that making our appetite our God literally affects where our mind is set upon. What's our priority system? And so if our appetite and the desires of the flesh are the voice we hear more often than the desires of the spirit, this greatly hinders our spiritual walk. You can't make it law. Can't make it law. We've got to make it of the spirit. But again, I'm just to the place, what is it that is profitable for what God has chosen me to do with the rest of my life? What is it that's profitable for me as a husband first? Or me as a son first? Me as a husband second? Me as a father third? But then me as a spiritual father, because the anointing on Shiloh places spiritual fathering. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things." You see, that's part of the reason for my fasting, is I don't want anything, I don't want to be enslaved to anything. I want the Spirit of God to be in control. I don't want me to be in control or my flesh to be in control. I should say I want to be in control of my flesh. "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. And I buffet my body and make it my slave." And Mike Hardy said at that time, he didn't journal because he was so uncomfortable. Because fasting is a buffeting of our body. It is a very difficult time. And the next page, when you begin your fast, your time of death has come. The fun time of all the planning, preparation, setting the goals, thinking this is going to be wonderful, God's going to use me, now suddenly you come, oh, what have I done? What have I committed myself to? I can't believe that I wrote down, I'm going to this date. God, I don't think that was you. I think maybe I ought to bring it down to here. This will go on in your mind. What am I doing? Not only that, all the other voices around you will be agreeing with that voice, and your people trying to talk you out of it, and this and that, and you're hurting yourself, and that. But the whole thing is, God is preparing you to receive some of the greatest freedom you ever had. And so every voice, Satan's voice, the voice of your habits, and we found out habits have a voice and speak to us all the time, the voice of our family, the voice of our friends, even the voice of your pastor, the voice of people close to you, voices everywhere are going to tell you, stop. You're getting too religious with this thing. You're carrying it to an extreme. No. We need to realize the fast, once we move into it, the time of joy is gone. A time of refreshing, being in Father's presence is usually gone in the early days of the fast. It starts out with a deep dying and agonizing and doubt and confusion and frustration in time. It's a time when the darkness in you begins to come to the light and you begin to tell yourself that I was quite satisfied the way things were before this fast. What have I got myself into? This is where most people quit. But yet all this reveals to me, the louder this voice is in discomfort to me, this tells me, hallelujah! It's time to rejoice because I realize I've now stepped into a realm of spiritual warfare more deep than I've been in before. With the flesh crying out, with the arguing. So the harder it is to me, the more I'm realizing, man, I'm really in battle with some biggie here now. We have got a strong man, and he is panicking. And he's doing everything to stop me. So that always tends to increase hope within me. And now I always, during this time of darkness, remember, the darkest hour is before the dawn. The fact that it's dark right now means there's going to be a glorious, glorious reward that comes. Stick in there. What's the point? What's the bullseye I'm set for? What's the target I'm aiming for? Hang in there, Jack. Hang in there. That's why it's very important at times, have a goal, have a target, have something to shoot for. If you aim at nothing, you will hit nothing. And so have something to target on. Now, what should I do spiritually during the fast? It's a time to slow down. It's a time that you're to rest from your labors. You may still have to work. You may still be on the road. There's times on a fast I will call ahead and I'll tell the person on the road, you know what I really need to do is no ministry in the daytime. That's very rare. I need to cut it back to morning only. I'm in a season of fasting. I want to cut back my schedule on the road so I can just be little bit more time listening. At home, I warned my family, set them up before, I'm really going to have some quiet time. During the 40-day fast, they almost didn't see me at all. About one day out of three, they'd see me because I could not. I'd get into some of the weakness, and you get irritated, and you get agitated at times, that I'd just have to go live and dwell in my bedroom at that time. I couldn't hardly come out. And my wife was very gracious to me during that time. She understood it. And I'd read things in a book, and I'd go tell her, you know, here's what's happening. You're not the problem. The kids aren't. I'm wrestling with this darkness. This is what's going on. You'll have this book now, manual. You can help people around you see what's going on, because there is a lot of desperate times. Give time to worship. Try to set some time apart for the Word, for waiting on the Lord, which we're going to look at in the last chapter together. Setting yourself apart. In many of the fasts, when you go deeper into them, usually when I get about 3 or 4 days in their fast, I don't need as much sleep. Because your body has, what's happened, your body's begun to slow down. You've gone from a high energy fuel to a low energy fuel. I think it's Arthur Wallace, I believe, describes it. It's kind of like a World War II submarine that when a World War II submarine is on the surface, it's operating on diesel power, and it could go much faster on the surface. But then when it's submerged, it's operating on battery power, on reserves, and it could only stay below the surface for 24 hours or so, and the battery power would run out. And that's kind of like a fast. When we're eating on our foods, we've got more energy, but there's an exchange of the fuel source when you move into the fast, and you get slowed down, and your heart slows down. I was 10 days into the fast. My normal pulse rate is about 75. I was 10 days in the fast in September, and I took my pulse rate one night, and it was 49. And so when you're walking, you know, you're not walking as fast, you're not moving as fast, everything slowed down. You just know that life needs to slow down with that during the fast. It's very important. You're not able to think you're able to think very clearly, but you're not able to react as clearly. You're not able to move as quickly. Continue to ask God to reveal the darkness and the strongholds in your life, and confess them as the things begin to come forth. And do not forget, this whole fast is about repentance and humbling yourself before God. And I stuck in there, if you want to put a little arrow in, at the top, to humble yourself before God and who? And man. Our humility before God is best measured by our humility before man. Our humility, you may see that one again too. That means when strongholds are identified that misrepresent Father's love to our family, to friends, or others, then it's not enough to confess those sins just before God. There also may be a need to go to others and confess the sins towards others whose words and actions and attitudes we've wounded. Well, I'm not sure if I'm ready to do that. Well, how much do you want to get out of the fast? My thing is, if I'm going to sacrifice about 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 meals, I want to get everything I can out of this. And so I'm going to move into a deeper state of this humbling myself. The degree of humbling yourself before others is the same degree that strongholds will be pulled down and destroyed in your life.
If you would like to order this tape set or any other material available at Shiloh Place Ministries, you may reach us at 843-365-8990 or write to us at Shiloh Place Ministries, Post Office Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. For our friends comfortable with a computer, log on to our website for the latest Shiloh Place itinerary and news at www.shilohplace.org. Or you may email us at info@shilohplace.org.